Hello and welcome to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into who our guest is for this episode, Joe's going to remind us of our show's purpose.
Well, our ever-evolving show's purpose is really getting people that are seeking service out there married with people that have great stories of service, and to really inspire people that want to serve to get out there and serve. I mean, that's really the bulk mission of this show, and we believe that Rotary is the most wonderful vehicle to foster great service.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it. So our guest today is Tim Connors. He is a part of the Eden Prairie AM Rotary Club. He serves as board secretary. He is also a part of the District 5950 Rotary Environment Action Team. He plays quite a few roles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was an interesting guest and kind of learn his path, but also then learn about the stuff they have coming up.
Yeah, the expo is really exciting.
Yeah.
And pretty cool, like, hearing about how it started and where it is now and how successful it's been.
Yeah, and you'll get to hear a little bit more, too, about kind of the overarching reason that the expo, you know, came to fruition, too. So all of it comes, you know, from that pillar of Rotary. So we hope you enjoy. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson. We'll be back.
Rotary is a place for all community-minded people who want to serve their areas with the support of an international organization. Join Rotary to find service. Join Rotary to find inclusion. Join Rotary to find leadership. Join Rotary to find fun. Join Rotary to find friendship. Join Rotary to find a better version of the world. Find a Rotary club near you at rotary.org and click on Club Finder. There is a club out there for everyone. Find your fit with Rotary. Rotary.org.
Show off your Rotary Club spirit with Russell Hampton Company. They're the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary items. They make everything like hats, jackets, shirts, banners, and more. Russell Hampton Company is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business founded in 1920 by a member of the first-ever Rotary Club in Chicago, Club Number 1. When you call Russell Hampton Company, you get more than just a company. You get a fellow Rotarian-owned business who's there to help. No matter if you're ordering for your entire club or just yourself, no order is too big or too small. Not sure what your club needs? Their team members can help and customize just about anything. They live by the Rotary four-way test. They also give 10% of all purchases back to Rotary to support Rotary's global work. So remember, Russell Hampton Company is your one-stop shop for all things Rotary. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com. Russell Hampton Company, Rotarians serving Rotarians.
Are you ready to make a difference in your community? Rotary is a great place to get involved in your community and meet passionate groups of people, as well as individuals dedicated to service and fellowship. At Rotary, we believe in the power of teamwork to bring positive change. As a member, you will have the opportunity to participate in exciting projects that address local and global challenges. From supporting educational initiatives to environmental conservation, we tackle it all. Joining a Rotary Club means becoming part of a diverse family of individuals who share a passion for giving back and having fun while making positive impact. With projects and events that enrich your community, there's something for everyone, from local initiatives to international collaborations. It doesn't matter what culture or country you come from. What matters is that you want to belong to a group that strengthens communities and creates lasting change. There's a place for everyone at Rotary, regardless of age or background. Learn more by searching for a Rotary Club in your community and visiting. Together, let's make a difference. Rotary, people of action.
Join Edina Rides for Education on Saturday, May 4th at Fred Richards Park for a leisurely 5 or 10 mile bike ride. Edina Rides is organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside. Gear up for a day of community spirit. And here's the best part. Your Ride with Edina Rides supports local educational nonprofits like the Edina ABC program. Their goal is to increase the number of well-educated minority students and make it possible for deserving students to reach their full potential. Current student, Joyelle, a high school junior, says she's proud to be part of the Edina ABC program. She says it's been a joyous experience providing her with amazing opportunities from diverse classes to exciting events and meeting wonderful people. Your participation helps sustain organizations like Edina ABC. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com. Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Before we dive into our guest and who he is today, Chad is going to remind us of our show's sponsor.
I want to thank Russell Hampton Companies for sponsoring the show. They're the number one printer for rotary gear in the country. If you're watching online, you can see some of the gear they sent us. They got some tumblers, some cutting boards, but they can print anything. So whether it's your business or you're looking for some rotary gear, check out russellhampton.com.
Thanks, Vanna.
Pipe down over there, Chachi. Okay. All right. So we have another amazing guest in studio today. It's always nice to have guests in studio. It's just a little bit different energy. Tim Connors is with us. He is a part of the Eden Prairie AM Rotary Club, board secretary, District 5950 Rotary Environment Action Team partner. And I'm assuming that is in conjunction to the SREG, correct?
Yeah, one of the individuals in the district by the name of Steve Solbrack got the action team going at the time he was actually serving on the board of SREG.
Wonderful.
And the SREG's more of an international group, and so he's been a significant player both internationally and here with District 5950.
And for our listeners that aren't familiar with all the acronyms,
yeah,
let's SREG.
You want me to take
Sure. Take
the reins? So SREGS is Environmental Sustainability Rotary Action Group, and it is a part of Rotary International, correct?
Well, interestingly enough, the action groups have some autonomy and separation,
Except
for when they do something that Rotary International doesn't like, and then it
feels they get
that
their
way.
Hand slapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I would say, WASHREG has maybe been there much longer. It has established a reputation for helping getting water projects going.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Environmental Sustainability Rotary Action Group is thinking broadly about the environment and sustainable living, and has, I would say, because of the climate threat, has a lot of focus on climate. But there's we have locally an individual that has done an exceptional job of communicating the concerns around pollinators. We've mm-hmm. lost 45% of the pollinators on the planet over the last few decades.
Yeah.
We need pollinators to have food and
Should
survive.
Should we do some pollination in the backyard?
There you go.
You could ask Lloyd for some help.
Sounds kind of dirty.
Oh, my God. We are on air.
Well,
that was PG-13. It was all right. That would have made it into a Disney movie.
This is true.
So an example of pollinator work, there's a gentleman who lives out in Stillwater that initiated an SREG initiative around pollinators. Been an exceptional amount of work done. The president, I can't remember her name, I'm sorry, before Stephanie did a trip from Canada all the way down to Mexico on a train. Mm-hmm. You might remember that. That was precipitated by Chris Stein's work. More recently, around Earth Day, and I think it's Friday the 19th, our lieutenant governor will be at a signing, the largest signing of pollinator pledging mm-hmm. that's been done in Minnesota, maybe even the world. So you can see really what SREG's trying to do is pollinate – but
yeah.
Not just pollinators,
yeah.
Do a bunch of different things that okay. will allow us to end up in a better place with the environment and a more sustainable place for, our kids, our relatives, our friends as we move forward.
We know that the city of Edina does a No Mow May program. I'm just curious, like, how beneficial it's been. Have they have any data that, you know, supports?
Yeah. You need longer term data.
Right.
You know, it's relatively.
You mean
new.
In a month?
Yeah.
We haven't fixed the problem? Come on.
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, before we dive in, you know, get a little bit more granular with some of these items, let's take some time to get to know you. So how long have you been a Rotarian?
Actually, I'm pretty recent. Okay. You know, I was in part of corporate America and always thought of Rotary as something for, you know, small businessmen and professionals.
Okay.
But after I retired in June 2019, a Rotarian that I knew from work but had moved on to other things. Made one more invite, and I figured, what the heck, I got time. So sure. I showed up, and, you know, it was just a nice – I miss people at work on some level. You go there every day. The routine of making some relationships, particularly with people that have the right set of values, was really attractive, and I got sucked in, and now I – spend all my time on – well, not all my time on Rotary. There's a couple of other passions I have, philanthropic passions that are somewhat connected.
So, okay.
Care to share them?
Yeah, do share.
You know, I often say that my first experience with Rotary was going to Camp Rising Sun in Rhinebeck, New York. Camp Rising Sun is run by the Louis August Jonas Foundation. It has a set of values that correlate heavily with Rotary. Has no connection to Rotary in truth,
okay.
But that's where I learned about service beyond self. That's where I learned about education for life. That's where I learned about celebrating diversity, and I learned some leadership skills through that experience too. And so at 15 years old, the world opened up for me in ways that I hadn't experienced in Wilmer, Minnesota, which is where I was living at the time.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I just got excited about traveling and meeting new people, learning about cultures, all those kinds of things just became super interesting. So when I started engaging with Rotary through this invitation, it was like, ooh, this is like Camp Rising Sun. really to the point. I've been serving on the board of Camp Rising Sun for a decade.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, my kids left and I got more involved, started working on some of the committees at the foundation, and then eventually ended up on the board and have been serving on that board for quite a while. So that's one thing I do.
Okay.
What else do I do? I'm an alum of a school that has some alumni that are very concerned about what's going on with the climate because it's an institution that understands science and technology.
Okay.
So we actually have a group that meets and advocates for change with Congress, basically by writing letters and pointing out things that make sense from a science background. We also educate on climate. So there's an organization called Climate Interactive that has a tool that helps you understand what the policymakers should be doing so you can help them understand what you want them to do as you move forward.
Okay.
And so that's another thing. And then you've had Suzanne Kachiever on the show.
Yeah.
Well, she sucked Irene Kelly and myself out of Eden Prairie AM into that experience. We've been working with Suzanne. I'd say we're the triad that keeps that Lake Street thing vibrant and thriving.
The Lake Street Project.
Yeah. Yep, the Lake Street Project.
And I was going to say, I'm not sure I was a part of that one.
No, you aren't. It was Joe and I.
I think it was the two of you. But I
you
think
were on
I
baby
met,
leave.
Yeah, I think I met Susan, though, at
the district conference.
And she got up and spoke, too. Wait, did both of you?
You did.
You both did.
Yes, we did.
It's all coming back to me now. It's all coming back.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes, because I do remember. Sorry, completely tangential. I thought it was so funny. You got up there and you're like, I'm really not good at this public speaking thing. And then you just blew it out of the water. You were absolutely incredible. So hats off to you.
Well, and that leaves one more to mention.
Do it.
As a result of the Lake Street work, one of the business owners walked in one day and said, hey, you know, I need a different space. My restaurant is doing well and it doesn't really fit into the space I'm in. Can you help me? So we helped them identify some options, professionals, locations, But after just a few months, he walked into the room again with Suzanne and myself and said, "I got a vision." And so what's the vision? And by this time, his restaurant is literally down, you know, just a few blocks from George Floyd Square. He lived near the restaurant, was an individual that woke up one night and saw his community burning. So as things unfolded with community sessions, listening sessions and such, he participated, heard how frustrated the community was, and so we show up one day, he's got pictures. And the pictures show his restaurant as well as a bunch of other kinds of things that would help the community inside the 3rd Precinct Police Center. Or, you know, the building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, converting it from a place that is really kind of shameful for Minnesotans to a place of fame. Mm-hmm. And so we've been forming. We formed a 501(c). We're starting to collect donations and approaching the appropriate people to try to influence the future disposition of that building.
Yeah, there was just an article in the paper not too long ago regarding it, too.
Yes. And interestingly enough, we were in a session on Monday that kind of serves up the current state of mind of the city. It is not homogeneous.
Oh, boy.
On the one hand, you've got a group of people who work for the mayor that are trying to manage the resources of the city well. And they know that they have a lease that's going to expire for voter services space. And that article talked about it, moving that into this building. It's an empty building. It saves the city some money in terms of lease dollars. With that said, all the community sessions that have been done so far have never gone down the path of thinking that's an approach they'd like. They'd like community services. They'd like to strictly change the whole function of the building. And, in fact, we've done enough outreach with MBCC. It came up as one of the key initiatives that they'd like to see happen in that space. So the meeting we were in was a council meeting. The city administration that, you know, works with the facilities walked in and said, here's our plan, voter services. We'll have some space based on council feedback the prior weeks. They'll have some space for community engagement or community use, but it was a small space. And so the council actually was, again, not homogeneous. There was a group that said we should move ahead. We all agree it's an eyesore. It's an embarrassment. We need to get going. Let's just let the city do what they want. There was another group that basically said the community told you they didn't want it. Use that way. They told you how they wanted to use it. You should reflect that. Mm-hmm. And had a vote, and the vote was 8-3, council people that want a different mission. Now, with that said, the city, the way things work is the administration really doesn't need the permission of the council to manage the resources of the city.
Yeah.
So it's not clear what's going to happen.
I find it so fascinating. Like, we've had so many people on here that talk about like our international projects and how much of them is around the sustainability component of it, and how you get sustainability is you get buy-in from the community, and you go, how are we not rationally using that same type of thought process instead of, hey, this just makes sense for the use, instead of what does the community need and how can the community support it?
Right.
And, you know, kind of just to go down this road a little bit is just to go, well, is there anything from the community in terms of sustaining the building if they're going to use it for more of a community use? Is there a community component of it that they would sustain it? Like, I'm just trying to follow the same line as what we do with like international projects, and especially the ones that we see that are really successful, and it's community buy-in, community engagement, and how does that play into this specific? I mean, it's at home, but if you're somewhere else in the world, this is an international project, right?
Right. Well, and so in a sense, that would be the next stage to do that step that we are so familiar with in Rotary with the vision that's been proposed. Mm-hmm. Of course, that takes time. It takes money. It takes resources. So to some extent, unless the city, you know, slows up, there's not going to be an opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
But
which is a shame. I mean,
well, you know, hopefully we're mobilizing. And as a result of that mobilization, already 8 of the council people are saying, you know,
we should at least slow down, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rotarians could have a part to play, you know, as we get this organization put together, reaching out to more people in the city council, reaching out to people in the county, reaching out to our representation at the state are all methodologies for developing the political will to do something that may not make a ton of economic sense initially for the city itself,
yeah,
but makes a ton of sense for the state.
Yeah.
One of the sound bites, one of the gentlemen is native-born Israeli. When he goes home, he says he always hears about Prince and about the Third Precinct and George Floyd murder.
Wow.
What he wants to do is go home and say, we got a Black Cultural Center. The Minneapolis Black Cultural Center and Prince.
Yeah.
And change the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Become a tourist destination.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's so wild to me. Yeah. I mean, anyways.
Okay.
How can people get involved and find more information for us?
So we do have a website up and running. I got to say it's fresh enough. I'm not sure if you put this in there, it'll work, but I think it does. MinneapolisBlackCulturalCenter.org, I believe, works. And, you know, I don't know if there's a way to follow up here with you guys, but I could try to get some more information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll put the link, if it works, in the bio so people can click on it in the description of the show.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
One last question for you before we kind of get into the deeper nitty gritty of the interview. You know, you mentioned that you joined Rotary once you retired.
Mm-hmm.
And is there something that you could have said to yourself or had somebody said to you when you were working or when you were kind of in the hustle bustle of life that would have changed your mind about Rotary?
Well, you know, I kind of got halfway there at one point. Another Rotarian I knew. Approached me. But I asked questions that led me to believe, you know, I think I'm kind of right. This is a bunch of professionals and, you know, my company isn't going to like sponsor anything. And, you know, it just seemed out a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at the time if I would have, you know, been attracted by anything, but I think it would have had to go down the path of expressing, the true diversity that exists in 5950.
Yeah.
I probably didn't understand that until I got closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a little more about the service aspect. That might have got me going. I would say those two things.
Well, yeah, because we talk about it all the time on the show. I mean, the families, the people that are quote-unquote busy with life seem to be a tough get for Rotary. It's either early on as a Rotaract member or an exchange student, and then on the back end of life when you've retired or the empty nest. And so it's just kind of trying – because we're trying to model this in terms of no, you can do Rotary.
Yep.
Yeah. You can – both spouses, by the way, can do Rotary, and you can have a family, and you can do all – and you can run a business, and you can do all of that.
Yep.
And – because it's probably one of the most target-rich environment for Rotary to grow its membership.
Yeah. Yeah. Be involved with the community.
Yeah.
And I, you know, for me, the diversity was something until I got involved that kind of held me back.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of had the same perception and I'd even gone to a meeting 12 years ago and it was probably the wrong club or, you know, because I think, you know, every
clubs
club has
vary a lot.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of diversity.
I went to four clubs to try to figure out where I'd fit in.
Yeah.
And
so once you find one that really represents what you're looking for, they're out there. And that was a big step for me.
Before we leave MBCC, through my connections, I would be more than willing to serve up the founder of the Minneapolis Black Cultural Center.
I would love to have him.
That'd be really great.
All right.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Especially as it's kind of unfolding in front of us, too. So yeah. It's a really great subject to have just a continual level of guests on because it keeps adapting and changing. I mean, we've kind of heard about it last year.
It was about this time or maybe a little in March, but it was
so early
to really get into the cultural center aspect. It was still...
Yep.
It's an individual from the Excelsior group, correct?
Yeah, that's Susan.
Yeah, Suzanne. Suzanne Kochever.
Oh, there's a different one.
Oh, that's who we interviewed on it.
It was the lawyer.
I don't know.
John, I can't remember his name.
Funny guy. He's funny.
Yeah.
Like, he cracked a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
Prior, but anyways.
Anyway, yeah. But it's we would love that introduction and to continue to follow the... What's happening with it. And I really hope that, you know, we can use the things that we've learned in international project studies and going, how do we have sustainable success in these things
right.
and use it at home?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you're not going to use it at home, then what's the point of having it?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen. Wow. Amen.
For any of you listening out there.
Well, we got to dive into at some point, because I know you got the big eco experience coming up this next weekend.
Right. And so, you know, I retire. I start reading. Remember that I worked for a company that made instrumentation. Our two biggest market segments were oil and gas and chemical. I start reading.
The enemy.
Pardon me?
Yeah. I said the enemy.
The enemy, yeah. And I, you know, and I always thought of all those left-leaning people as tree huggers that always overemphasized stuff that didn't really matter that much. And, started reading. And it turns out, you know, I'm kind of a science, STEM, math guy, engineer, whatever. And it started freaking me out.
There's some legs here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you know, I'm spending the time to really understand what's going on. And I'm not going left or right or whatever. It's just like this is the basic facts. And as a result of learning some of the basic facts, and I've just joined Rotary, and they announced the seventh area of focus.
Mm-hmm.
And then I learn about SREG. And so now I'm deep into it, right?
Yeah.
This is my passport. And, you know, when you start working with people all over the world or some of the volunteer groups, you know, it's a little bit messy. Some people are interested in talk and some people are interested in taking action. I'm an action guy. So I just, you know, I was trying to find ways. And I knew a little bit about solar and knew a little bit about renewable energy and it definitely knew about energy in general. I mean, my custom power plants, oil and gas, you know, I knew a lot about energy. So I started focusing on renewable energy. And I think that was the first thing I did inside of SREG is I joined the Renewable Energy Task Force. And then as time went on, joined the board. And then inside my club, this wasn't even my idea. Somebody said we should do a... Eco Expo and I use it as a fundraiser. Holly Link, if you're out there, you get credit. It was your idea. So we basically get online with the first Eco Expo at the community center over in Eden Prairie. 250 people showed up. I don't know where they all came from. We were kind of surprised that we actually attracted that many, I think. And but really, really worked well. Everybody gave positive feedback about the experience. Mm. And so we start heading for the second year. Yeah, let's do it again. And we're heading for the second year. And somebody had the idea. Could have been me. I'm not sure. Let's ask the Eden Prairie Mall, you know, if they'd open up their center court. Sure enough, turns out they're fairly progressive when it comes to topics like sustainability and are trying to do their part. They were very excited to have us, and so lo and behold, we did the scramble. It was a little bit of a chaotic event last year, but we brought it off with you know, probably a good 40 exhibitors, and went over really well again. And the city officials showed up. We got the county commissioner in, plus all these cars, these solar companies, these people wow. that are thinking about your yard and pollinators. We had the family fun zone so kids could go in and mm-hmm. look at the goats. And, you know, between all that stuff, I mean, again, it came off very well. By, you know, it went through 6 p.m. By 5 p.m., the general manager and the marketing person from the owner of the mall, which they own multiple malls, but they were sitting there talking, what do you think? Got to get a date set. Let's do it again.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I'm sure they're like, a few hundred people in the mall? Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. Amen. That's exactly where their heads went. So here we are, third year. Now, this year, I would say, again, a lot of hard work. All along, this has been a mm-hmm. ton of hard work. I mean, you know, yeah, it's. I don't want to minimize the amount of work we've put into this. But this year, I would say we filled up the mall. We're up to kind of the max limit in terms of the number of vendors, unless we go to the second floor. We've got 6 different vehicles scheduled that are all going to be inside. There'll be test drives outside.
Cool.
And as you think about this issue of, you know, the threat to the environment, our citizens and our communities need to become versed in a bunch of different ways because there's no one thing that's going to fix the problem.
Yeah.
So you as an individual, if you're trying to make your contribution, you just have, you know, a number of ways that you can help. And they range from what do you do to heat your house? What do you use to drive around? What do you use to generate electricity or buy? Where do you buy your electricity? What food do you eat? What are mm-hmm. you doing out in your yard? All those are important things to think about as you try to make your life an example of being sustainable. And lo and behold, what do we have at the Eco Expo? We have organizations that really literally touch all of those aspects of living.
Cool.
Now, I'll give you a hint, though. If you're convinced that your kids and your grandkids are important to you, your first stop is Electrify Everything. There's an organization called Electrify Everything Minnesota. Ultimately, the moral of the story is you got to quit burning stuff. Mm. And what's going to happen on the grid as time goes on, it'll be less powered. It's already, particularly in Minnesota, it's already less powered by coal. There's just a few coal sites left. There's some, of course, natural gas turbines. They're less impactful than a coal plant, much less impactful. And then we've got a ton of wind and solar, and more is going in every day. So, mm-hmm. So as a result of that, when you think about the way you transport yourself, when you think about what you're doing to heat your home, when you're cooking, all those are places where electrification makes sense. And so Electrify Minnesota starts to help you understand how you as an individual can economically and in some cases cut your costs by making steps.
All right. As a chef or somebody who likes to cook, not really a chef, but – sell me on going from gas to electric on the range.
Well, the first step is to think about, is it traditional electric or is it induction?
Okay.
If it's traditional electric, you know, you got some challenges. If it's induction, you can heat as fast. You got more control. Your kids won't suffer asthma because of the fumes that come off a gas stove. I would say, are those compelling reasons?
Well, you got Mama Bear here right now, so yeah.
New stove
coming. No kidding.
And I always try to be careful because a lot of these facts aren't known, and I don't want to give people the – I mean, I'm a traditionally kind of, let's say, semi-conservative. I'm probably a centrist, but, you know – all this stuff that I'm talking about didn't come – I thought the tree huggers were nuts. Mm-hmm. Until I retired, I didn't really spend time reading and finding the facts. These are things that were known decades ago, and there's various reasons why they got overlaid or whatever. But Remember that I think Nixon was the guy that signed the dotted line on the Environmental Protection Agency. If you read some of the stuff that Reagan said, it was very oriented towards protecting our environment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody, I mean, Carter, both parties have supported environmental robustness. We're just not executing on that the way we could. And I don't want to be political. I don't think this is a political issue. I think it's an issue that we need to address because if you have friends, if you have family, if you have kids, if you have grandkids, you want to create a scenario where their future looks good. And we have to address this to get those kids to a good place.
I mean, I like coming at it from that perspective rather than the political stance, you know, one person trying to step higher than the other on that political stance. So that's good. I mean, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a political issue.
Right. You know,
it shouldn't be a political issue.
It's a heart thing. Like, do you care about
health,
the health and benefit of yourself,
yep,
people around you, children that you have?
So. And I'm very confident that in a relatively short point of time, you know, it's going to depoliticize. I mean, if you look at the history of Europe, it was political 20 years ago. It isn't today. Mm-hmm. Everybody's on board. We just are a little behind, you know, in the U.S. in terms of understanding what's going on and depoliticizing it. So hopefully that's our future.
And for being such a, like, powerful country, you'd think that we could
turn it
around.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's making progress, too, because the economic model is starting to support
the
money.
Yeah, if you look at the number of weather disasters that have happened, I mean, why are we taking on that cost?
Yep.
You know, it just doesn't make economic sense. Now, with that said, I mean, there's lots of crazy – I will admit there's lots of crazy ideas out there, and some of the crazy ideas make no economic sense. But there are, you know, there are so many things we could continue to speed up that actually do make economic sense and fix the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Will you guys have speakers on kind of all,
you know,
issues?
We tried, Chad. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did try to do speakers the first year, and we found that most people just wanted to walk around the exhibit hall.
Yeah, get some experience.
So with that said, you guys are in radio. You know important people. I would solicit your help. I do think one individual at one point in time being a draw would be a great thing. But I guess we thought about that last year, didn't really have enough time to think about it. We thought about it again too late this year. Yeah. We just need to get that figured out ahead of time. Yeah. But it seems
we need to bring back Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Captain Planet?
Yeah, we do.
So just, you know, as you think about all the things I said, what do you think has brought in the most participants? Okay, we don't really know. We didn't do a survey. But verbally, we hear a lot about one particular exhibitor. Guess who brought in the most people?
The goats.
You got it. She knew.
Everyone likes a cute little goat.
Yes.
Are they inside or are they outside?
Yes, they're inside. Yeah. Hey, and listen.
Are they like tipping over too?
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Fainting goats?
Yeah, the fainting goats.
Goats, yeah.
Bet you the janitorial staff love that.
Yeah, I know.
Are you serious? Yeah. Goats.
Well, and we're going to one up it this year. Guess what?
What?
We got goats. We got dogs.
Oh, boy.
We're going to have a tortoise.
Oh, all right.
Oh, boy.
We're actually trying to get a chicken in, but that's, I don't know. We might hit a headwind there.
Well, I think it's a great idea because it brings in families.
Yeah.
Yes. Kids. Yeah.
You know, that's, been working on the Edina Ride event we're working on. That's a big key to get success.
Getting people there. Amen. Yeah, we have a full family fun zone. There's about 8 activities inside the family fun zone. So anybody that's got kids, come on in. We got entertainment.
Pull off some steam.
Yeah. It's so this is on April 20th.
Yep.
From 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We've got a link for the website too.
I'll put the link in the bio. At Eden Prairie Mall too. That's him.
So and I'd encourage you, if you have a family, I think getting there, let's say mid afternoon or earlier, the things start to tail off a little bit as, you know, when you get to about 5 o'clock when you're doing the raffle and And actually, the goats, you have to look at the scheduler. I'm trying to remember the goats take off. They do two shifts of goats. They tire out two sets of goats, but that means they limit the goat exposure to about 5 hours, two and a half hour shifts. So if you're going to see, you want to see the goats, make sure you look at the schedule.
All right,
you'll be able to find that in the bio.
Yep.
So as you guys are right up against it, we're a week out. What are the last minute things you're working on for it? Or is it all set and you're ready?
Well, last year I would say the trick was we were still trying to fill the place, you know, and I was begging people to come. This year we're full, and I got a phone call literally on the way over here from one more that wants to get in.
Yeah.
So you know, dramatically different there. You know, much more methodical this year because we're more experienced. And I would say there's no crises or anything like that outside of trying to get a sixth car in. We're still a little bit of negotiating on that. But that's a different kind of crisis. You know, that's a good problem.
Yeah.
I would – you know, what we are doing, though, is finalizing the program. Sending out information to the exhibitors that helps them understand, you know, what they need to be doing next week. Mm-hmm. What else? Doing banners.
Getting the logistic printing and all that.
Yep.
What type of cars are going to be in there?
Well, the actual models, I don't know.
Was
that
it one manufacturer?
Committed.
Or is it?
No, Kias, BMW, Audi, and Ford. Yeah.
Figured there was more than one.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Did I name five? I should have named five.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and I approached a bunch of others. It turns out the dealerships, you know, are really busy on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not giving up sales reps to go work a booth.
Yeah. That's kind of been a problem. But despite the problem, I mean, there were five dealerships that figured it out.
Yeah.
Very cool. What else are you guys planning that's exciting? You know, I want to hear about the beekeepers a little bit first for Lloyd.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, Lloyd's not here this year. Did you know that?
I know. He told us he's up in Fargo for a convention.
But, the beekeepers are oriented towards just helping the kids understand what their part to play is in the, you know, the overall pollination scheme. We extend that a little bit to the point of to get your free honey stick, you got to drag your parents around to a few more places.
Nice.
So
we call that cross sales.
Yes, cross sales. Right. So I would say
the ain't no shame in that game.
No shame.
No
it's
shame.
All good.
All right.
All good.
Yep. And I would say the B aspect is literally about knowledge, you know, helping the kids understand how important it is. And then, you know, understanding that pollinator plants are important. Not all plants are pollinator plants. And then there's information on pollinator plants with the U of M Master Gardeners and the Friends of Eden Prairie are there. I don't know. They help people think about sustainability. They're doing a lot of work around buckthorn removal in the parks.
Yeah.
And so they've got a good story. We've got, you know, landscape firms that help people think about what to do with their yards and stuff to make them more friendly environmentally.
Sounds like we should make our way there on April 20th, Joseph.
Noted. With the last few minutes, I think it'd be helpful, too, is – we know it's at the Eden Prairie Center. Maybe walk through just really quick what that experience, like as you come in, kind of like what the experience is like for the person that'll come in. Do they register somewhere or is it just kind of this open layout where you go everywhere? Do you direct them anywhere specifically? Like what – just kind of give us an overall experience of what somebody would anticipate.
So if you think about how the – place is constructed, there's literally three hallways into the center hall. So you might come in from Shields, come down the hall, and in the center. Or you come in with the bookstore, Mm-hmm. Come down that hall into the center, or you're out at Target or JCPenney. That's the third hallway. Come down to the center. We are recruiting heavily for volunteers. If anybody still wants to volunteer, please call Tim Connors, 612-670-5028. Or Jana. I think we had Jana's phone number there available for you guys, too, to publish. Actually, Jana's a better person to call on the – she's operational lead.
Nice.
I'm kind of the, you know, recruit the exhibitors lead. But you walk down any one of those three hallways and you walk to the center court. There is an information booth in two locations. So whether you come down any one of those hallways, you can look for the information booth, get yourself oriented, get a program that has a map. All those things are available depending upon your inclination. Likewise, there's no need to necessarily – you can just start walking through that center exhibit hall. There's about six lanes and – walk up and down the lanes and look at what you're interested in, what you care about, and pick that off. Now, okay, Family Fun Zone, it's in a storefront that currently is not being used. And so it's what's next? It's right up against the center court, so it's pretty evident.
You'll be able to find it.
You'll be able to find it. And then the EV store – there's not much space left now, of course. So you got to go down the hallway a little bit, and down the hallway is the EV store. And because I'm hoping we get the sixth car in, there'll be a car in the hallway signaling. Mm-hmm. There are Silver Sponsor, Audi Minneapolis, and then right against that sponsor will be the storefront that has the other five cars.
Cool.
It's like halfway down the hallway between the center court and JCPenney. And then one of the dealers, the Ford dealers, planning to do test drives. So if you want to test drive a Ford EV, that's up and out the door beyond JCPenney. I think they're going to organize that in the EV store and then send you outside or something like that.
Well, check it out. Check out the test drive. Might end up with a new car and a new Range, Joe.
Oh, boy.
Bet.
All right.
Well, likely.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim, for coming on and talking a little bit more about SREGS and the expo as well. I'm interested personally. We'll see if I can, you know.
Well, that means I'm interested.
But thank you.
Totally free to the public, right?
Yeah.
Totally free to the public. And if you want to dive – oh, by the way, the Twin Cities Rotary Club that Tom Gump helped get going with Steve Solbrack. I don't know who all got – Steve Solbrack was a key guy. He was the guy that got it really off the ground. You guys should – have you had him on?
No, not yet. I've emailed with him a little bit.
Yeah, he'll probably kick my butt. I'll come and talk about his club.
There you go.
Twin Cities Eco Club is going to be there on one. If you're really into ecology, if you're young, I would say that crowd tends to be a little younger, but they got some gray-haired guys like us too. And then there's also an intention to help you understand, you know, what's going on with SREG to some extent. That's international. Okay. We got you know, people all over the world thinking about this stuff.
Yeah.
So there's another couple opportunities to learn and engage.
Wonderful.
Thank
you again for taking time to come and visit with us in studio. It's always a pleasure. And thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back in the next segment. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
Gear up for a day of community spirit. Edina Rides for Education invites you to roll into a fun day of biking on Saturday, May 4th, starting at Fred Richards Park. Organized by the Rotary Club of Edina Morningside, they're all about service above self, and they're calling on you to join the ride. Opt for a leisurely 5 or 10 mile route and explore the scenic, car-free bike paths Edina has to offer. And here's the best part. Your ride with Edina Ride supports local educational nonprofits like Edina Give and Go, funding grants for students in need at Edina Public Schools. These funds help students that would be unable to pay fees associated with arts, academics, and athletics. Be a partner in sustaining organizations like Edina Give and Go. Registration is easy at edinarides.com. Take advantage of early bird pricing, just $25 for adults and $15 for kids. So gear up and pedal for a purpose on Saturday, May 4th with Edina Rides for Education. More at edinarides.com.
Up your game and show off your Rotary Club spirit. Did you know there's a one-stop shop for all things Rotary apparel? Russell Hampton Company is the world's largest provider of licensed Rotary branded merchandise. From apparel like hats, jackets, and shirts to banners, tents, and awards, they have it all. And most things are customizable. And they can handle orders of all sizes. Russell Hampton Company also has deep connections to Rotary. In 1920, the company founder was part of Rotary Club No. 1 in downtown Chicago. Russell Hampton Company models their business on the Rotary four-way test and gives back 10% of all purchases to Rotary, supporting its global work. So the next time you and your club are out on a service project, arrive with the right swag from Russell Hampton Company to promote your club and Rotary. Even non-Rotarians will want some of your cool hats, shirts, and jackets. Learn more at bestclubsupplies.com. That's bestclubsupplies.com.
For decades, eradicating polio worldwide has been Rotary's cornerstone cause. We are incredibly close to ridding the globe of this virus, but we need everyone's help to get us to the goal. World Polio Day is October 24th. Please consider making a new donation to Polio Plus or increasing your already generous giving. Go to endpolio.org to be a part of this historical eradication of polio. You will help get vaccinations to the most remote parts of our world and help fulfill a promise we made to end polio now. Two drops and it stops.
Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build good? Will it better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Join Rotary to serve your community and the world with honesty, fairness, and goodwill. Our four-way test guides our actions every day. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? Will it be beneficial to all concerned? These values underpin our commitment to making a positive impact on the world. Learn more about your local Rotary Club and stop searching and start serving. And the song you're hearing right now was performed by the Rotary Club of Saskatoon, Natuna in Canada.
When we pay it forward, it will be returned.
Hello and welcome back to Searching for Service, brought to you by Rotary District 5950. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
As always, we always have great guests.
We do.
I enjoyed having him on.
You know, I got to say my favorite thing is whenever we have guests on, they always have this, especially people that have never done a show before, they have this like notion like we're going to be just absolutely peppering them with things.
I know.
And they never believe us. It's just a conversation. And then every time at the end, they're like, gosh, that was fun. That was awesome.
Well, in Tim's case too, I mean, he is retired and has found this passion in, you know, all things environmental. And when you get talking about things that you're passionate about, that conversation just can flow so much easier.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, we've met a lot of different Rotarians here at different paths, but to hear it really stemmed from him retiring and then doing a lot of learning that brought him into it. And then Rotary just turned out to be a vehicle that fit his passion through that, which was pretty cool to hear.
You know, for the amount of shows that we've done, I was a little flabbergasted with myself that I didn't know what SREGS was. So when he was battling off, I'm going, can you explain
to the viewers? I mean, me.
And, and so, I mean, now I'm kind of making the connection, you know, even with one of our past guests at our Rotary specifically. I'm like, I bet SREGS had you know, a large part to do with what they spoke about. And so it all kind of...
It's a lot of acronyms. We might need to get a key going.
I know.
Well, I mean, but we keep breaking down a lot of them for our mm-hmm. listeners. I mean, as we're learning them, they're learning them too. So I hope you guys enjoy that.
Yeah.
I thought it was also it was really good to get an update on the Lake Street project and kind of hear quickly things are moving and where there's some things that maybe you can take action on and to really represent the community. So that was good because we've had past guests talk about it and to really kind of in the moment get the real update on it.
Yeah. So if you're listening and, you know, you have some passion around what has been happening there and you want to donate your time, we certainly will drop some of those resources for you to be able to get involved.
Just as a last thing, what I loved about it is how we're using Rotary as an international, like when we do service projects, to identify where there are chinks in the armor in terms mm-hmm. of process and procedure locally, where we can at least get community involvement to help that process.
It was a great guest. We hope you enjoyed. I'm your host, Kelly Kirk.
I'm Joe Kirk.
And I'm Chad Larson.
As a reminder, it's time to stop searching
and to start serving.
See you next week.